Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, welcome to the Man Cave, episode number 44. I am Crew Chief Tony, along here with the Professor Brandon Crowd. How are you, B?
What's up, sir?
And then there were eight.
Yes. That was an awesome end to the second round, in my opinion.
Craziness.
It's really crazy.
Did not think I was going to tune into Kansas and watch the big one.
No. It, you know, a typical mile and a half for a good portion of it.
Yep.
But I was glued. I was excited, and I bought in. I was good.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, right away. I mean, there's some drama.
Yeah.
You know, Kyle Larson losing his engine, and you know, Jimmy Johnson spins himself out twice in a lap.
Martin Truex with the penalty.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't. It wasn't as given as I think some might have expected it to be in terms of, you know. I'll be honest, going into it, before the start of the race, I thought the bottom four was going to be the bottom four. You know, Kyle Busch was able to rebound. I felt so bad. Mick, you know Mick, know, diehard Kyle Larson fan. I felt so bad for him when Larson wrecked out.
It sucks. It's, you know, that's, I mean, that's the name of the game, though.
It is. Well, you know, in all honesty, Truex was a victim of this last year at Talladega. Last year is when his heater started, you know, and now he's full circle and kicking ass, taking names, and he is not looking in his rear mirror at all.
No. Yeah, no, it surprised me too, but that's racing, and it's, you know, everything's got to be just right, and you know, that's the name of the game, you know. Yes. A flat tire can change everything.
Yeah.
So you just don't know.
What'd you do over the weekend, sir?
Man, I just I watched a lot of racing.
Good.
And just caught up on a few things, man. Didn't do a lot. What about you?
So Friday, went out to the bar with some friends, which was cool.
You went to the bar?
No, shocker there. Saturday, what did we do Saturday? Oh, Saturday, Lindsay and I went downtown. Side note, Lindsay got a new job, which she is very excited about. I'd call her a name right now, but that'd be really mean. She gets to work from home remote.
But she does listen.
Yeah.
She does listen.
Yeah. You remember that time when I said, she's not going to be here this weekend? And I saying, huh? Uh-huh. You know? Yeah. It took about 2 days and that slap across. You know? Uh-huh.
You knew it was coming.
Oh, I knew it was coming. I just wanted to know how long. But anyway, so has this week off and is starting a new position, new company. So she's very excited about that. So we went out and celebrated a little bit Saturday night.
No, that's good for her. I'm excited about that for her as well.
So there's that. And then Sunday, watched a little football and some racing, dude. It was good. The Lions were off this weekend, so they didn't lose.
They did not lose.
Michigan took a beating.
Yes, they did.
In the whiteout.
So, I'll tell you what, Mr. Harbaugh,
he's got some splaining to do.
He does. It's been, 3 years now?
3 years.
You know, that Harbaugh hype machine might be running low on gas.
You want to know what really bugs me is, all right, so their defense is actually pretty stout. And when your offense can't do anything, in my opinion, and I'm not a football guy in terms of being able to dissect that much, but, you know, that takes a little blow from your defense. And if your offense could compete a little bit, then your defense could rest up a little bit on the sideline.
Catch their breath.
Yeah. I'm shocked that, you know, everyone, you know, we've brought in all these recruits. Why we're still using leftover quarterbacks year three into the Harbaugh reign?
That's still the best we got.
I guess that's what surprises me. Like, all right, I know we have quarterbacks sitting back there. You couldn't have developed them. And at this point, the season's over. I don't want to see O'Cornyn next week. I want to give me one of the new guys.
What's the point?
He's a fifth year senior. He's not getting drafted. He's not doing anything. Spate's still injured. Put in a new guy. You know, what better way? You know,
like I said, I mean, things go sideways next year. He's going to be in the hot seat.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Got to have some results here. And University of Michigan football. So
we've been waiting on a rebound for a long time.
Too long.
Lloyd is long gone, you know.
Lloyd Carr has been retired. Yeah.
MSU got a W. Good for them. Yay. Yeah, whatever. Patriots. Woo. Sunday night football. Super Bowl rematch. I was a little nervous. I was going back and forth with Sherwin on Twitter there a little bit because, you know, those Atlanta boys down there, they were...
They haven't forgotten.
No, they have not. No, and I wouldn't either. But I was nervous because the Patriots, two losses this year that they should not have had. Defense isn't there. They've been playing a little sloppy, but they stepped up their game and reminded everybody, hey.
I saw a picture the other day. Someone had a Patriots jersey, and it said, in the name... Gronkowski or Brady or something. It said ATL led by, and the number was 25.
Oh, that's savage mode.
So it was savage.
That's savage mode. Well, there was a tweet. CBS Sports tweeted out when that fog came in, it was real heavy. They did a real faint score of the score at halftime, and they just posted that and acted it like it was the haze in there something.
Kidding.
I'm like,
no
that's
kidding.
Beast
wow.
mode
wow.
by CBS Sports. Yeah. So it was a good weekend. I enjoyed myself.
And thanks again to Matt DiBenedetto. If you haven't listened to last week's show, you definitely need to do that.
That was a lot of fun. So I don't want to get cocky, but something tells me I think he'll come back on at Michigan with us next year.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, well, he and Ryan we're good with those guys.
Yes.
But, you know, he's just one of those guys that just genuinely is just loving life right now.
Yeah.
And they're doing a great job. And you know,
they're
God,
building.
And God bless them, man.
You know, I think I asked him last week something about, you know, we were talking about his finishes and the year that he had and bragging about, you know, 15 and 20 place finishes and that being kind of not something as fans we're used to talking about in terms of finishes. But when you put it into the reality of what is realistic for that team, they have far exceeded expectations.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so I look, you know, maybe next year, maybe a top 20 becomes the norm and anything below a top 20 for that team is subpar. They're growing.
Yeah, top 25. They're in the top 25. They're in there with some good drivers.
Yeah.
And he's right. They're doing it with a fraction of the budget that everybody else is.
So. And a fraction of the budget and manpower.
Yeah.
Manpower.
Physical bodies to do things. Yeah.
You know, he said what they're up to 16.
16 employees.
16 employees.
Hendrick has 400.
Right. Oh. I mean, they bring more than 16 to the track on Sunday.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
There's more than 16 per team.
Yeah.
Standing there.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. Well, sir, we don't have or we did not have a truck race this past weekend. Trucks were off, but Tony, the trucks are starting round two at Martinsville this weekend, and that's an awesome track to start round two for the trucks.
This could be interesting.
Tony, Chase Elliott dominated this race in the spring, ended up winning it with Johnny Sauter and Chris Bell, who are some familiar names we're talking about
who
right now.
I'll be honest with you. Those are the two guys. Like you go Martinsville, I'm talking short track guys like Johnny Sauter and Chris Bell are the first two names that pop in my head.
All right. Well, I tell you, right now, I am picking Matt Crafton to win this race.
All right.
Not because we're homers for Matt Crafton now, which we are, but Matt Crafton has a few grandfather clocks. He's kind of points raced a little bit since his win at Eldora. He's had some bad finishes. I look for Matt Crafton to stamp his way to Homestead.
I'd like to see
this
that.
Sunday.
I'd like
or
to see
Saturday.
Yeah,
Saturday.
That'd be cool to see.
So,
like that.
Yeah, so the trucks are going to finish round two at Martinsville, Texas, and Phoenix. Before the finale at Homestead. I'm getting so confused because they don't run the same schedule in the playoffs. And
I know, it is confusing.
I've never paid this much attention to realize how off the sequence is and who's in what round. Like, it's a little mind-boggling.
There's six, there's eight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's not much else. Anything else for the trucks?
They're down to six. Do they make another cut before the end, or is this it?
Yeah, no, they're going to they'll race Martinsville, Texas, and Phoenix, and then they'll go down to four. And then they'll have the final four race for it at Homestead, just like everyone else.
All
yeah.
Right.
Yep. So I got to be honest, when I look at the standings in there, all right, Chris Bell, I got penciled in for Homestead. I got Johnny Sauter, Matt Crafton. I think it's going to come down to either Ben Rhodes, Sindrick, or Nemechek getting in there. And you know, again, we've had Ben Rhodes and Joe Hunter on the show. So, yeah. You know, I hope at least one of those guys are able to make it in there and, yeah, and so make a little
I.
noise.
Yeah, so do I. And they've all of them can do it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, at this point, truthfully, there's not a big delta between, you know, number one and number six at this point.
Those, sure.
This is pretty much the cream of the crop right
absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So.
Well, we did have the Xfinity boys run race one of round two at Kansas this weekend.
It's an interesting race.
What'd you think about that there with the Chris Bell, Eric Jones drama on the track?
Yeah, that was a tough one to, you know, I see both sides of it, right? I think Eric Jones just assumed that Christopher Bell was not going to go all the way up to the wall, you know, on that last pass there. And but Christopher Bell's going for his first win, and he was clear. By the time he got up to the wall, he was going 15 miles an hour slower than Eric Jones was.
Yeah.
And I think the only thing there was their teammates. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And like that, maybe they shouldn't have, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe on the last corner of the last lap, maybe, but maybe. It wasn't net just yet. But I don't fault anyone in there. I think that, you know.
Well, you know, we talked before we hit the record button there that if this was two Cup guys doing this in an Xfinity race or two Cup guys in the Cup, or if maybe an Xfinity guy was running a Cup race as a one-off kind of thing, maybe there'd be a little bit more to this. But when you look at the fact that Chris Bell, he runs truck, has not run a ton of Xfinity races.
No, like a handful.
Exactly. You know, trying to make a name for himself to let future sponsors, future team owners know, hey, I can win. I can go out there. And maybe Eric Jones just took his, hey, I'm a Cup driver. You're going to give me the benefit of
totally.
The doubt break a
You're
little
gonna
bit
give me
for
the room
granted.
And I'm going
to,
yeah.
You know, so I think it was awesome. I think that adds to what we as fans want to see. Like that was... I thought that was cool.
Yeah,
you
no,
know?
It was. It was. But like I mentioned before, like Eric Jones is going to, okay, he got one. I'll tell you what, Christopher Bell ain't going to pull that again.
No.
He ain't going to get two of them.
No.
I'll tell you that right now.
Yes. Because, yep.
You know, Eric Jones will dump him without thinking about it. But like I said, that was the only thing, just teammates.
Sure.
You know, you hate to see his car get tore up with a lap to go.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Well, you know, so speaking of only a handful, so Christopher Bell, he's in his second full-time season in trucks, Tony. He ran seven races in 2015. He has 49 truck starts with seven wins. One out of seven times he's buckled in, he's going to victory lane.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's got five Xfinity starts with a win. He could be maybe the next Alex Bowman, maybe.
Yeah,
you know,
he's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
That's no lie right there.
Tough day for our lap traffic friends, Daniel Hemric and Cole Custer.
Yeah, I hated to see that. Both of those guys have been running pretty well, too.
Yeah, yeah. So now, you know, they're at the bottom of the standings right now. They're in seventh and eighth. Fortunately, there's only about a 6 to 8 point differential
between,
on the cut line.
Fourth and eighth.
Yes. So. Yeah, there's, you know, so they... They're not out of it, but, you know, little work to do with the rest of it.
Time to put up or shut up.
No, they're off this weekend.
Right, right.
Which is crazy.
They get their last push.
But the crazy thing, since Chris Bell won, no one stamped their ticket yet, which means there's a couple extra, there's an extra spot potentially to point race in.
Right.
Which might play into Elliott Sadler's favor, you know. I think that's interesting.
Sadler had a close call there. Well, he spun on his own, full sideways in the middle of the track, and nobody hit him. He didn't hit anything. He went into the grass backwards.
Yep.
Didn't tear off the splitter. Boy, that was he had a horseshoe in his car somewhere because that was
he borrowed it from Jimmy.
Yeah, no lie, right? You know, he ran it over to Jimmy's car after the race, but man, that was close. That could have gone real bad for him, you know, and he could have been in that Kyle Larson scenario where he's out.
Sure.
You know, and lose a ton of points that you can't make up kind of situation. So,
well, and
he dodged one.
It goes to show, too, just how crucial, if you can get some extra points during the race, if you can, even if you don't get the playoff point, but if you're able to finish second to 10th and get extra points that count towards the standings and your points for the race, what would have been viewed as a bad day doesn't necessarily end that way anymore,
right.
And that might help him down the road.
Yeah,
he's
doing a good job. I mean, you know, the results are there. He's still hanging in there somehow. Doesn't have that breakaway speed that we've seen from some of the other guys, but he's doing it.
Yep, absolutely. Tony, I'm going to hit some social media here. Everyone, make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Make sure you like our Facebook page at The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at LapTrafficPC. Give us a listen on iTunes, Podbean, wherever you listen to podcasts. We should be there. And if we're not, let us know so we can get there. Subscribe, set us on auto download. That way you get us first thing when we post Tuesday nights. Leave us a comment. Tony, we got a couple extra new comments on iTunes, which is awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's awesome. All 5 stars, of course, obviously.
Like
we are so close to giving away this truck signed Lapped Traffic t-shirt from Eldora. We need about 250 more followers, and this thing's gonna be going to one lucky listener, so hopefully we can do that before the season ends. So make sure you tell your friends to give us a follow on Twitter at Lap Traffic PC. Tony, are you ready for some new follower shout outs?
I am. I like this part.
This is awesome. Here we go. All right. Melissa Davis on Facebook. Thanks for giving us a follow. Dawson Leviner from Hamlet, North Carolina. Big 78 fan. So I know he is a happy camper now.
That's good times.
It's a good times. Yes, sir. So thanks for following. Make sure you tell your friends to check us out. Over on Twitter, Dan Williams at DFWJR75 from Fort Mill, South Carolina. Welcome to the show. Marine at RADO424 from North Carolina, loves her Chicago sports teams and a diehard NASCAR fan. Welcome. Teresa at Ford First from West Virginia, loves NASCAR and dirt track racing. Welcome to the show. John O'Clair at JohnO'Clair248, former Marine. Thank you for your service. He also loves NASCAR and street rods. Welcome.
Yeah.
Ryan Kiefer at Ryan Kiefer, proud dad, Tar Heels fan and NASCAR fan. Welcome to the show, guys. Hope you like it. Check it out. Tell your friends.
Yeah, welcome to Lap Traffic Nation, everybody.
Absolutely. Make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. We've got $15 t-shirts, hoodies, bunch of stuff out there if you want to help support the show. Check that out. We also have stickers and koozies. If you want one, visit our website and fill out the contact page with your address, and we'll send that out to you. Tony, I got a couple pictures, some new ones of people with their koozies nice and full with a beer, either at the track or watching the race.
The coolest thing ever.
So
I don't
cool,
know why,
man.
I love that so much.
Because who would have thought, right?
Yeah.
Like, people want to support the show and send a little love on social media.
Yeah, no,
that's awesome.
It means so much to us. You guys have no idea. And if you guys want to send us anything to the Man Cave here, as people do from time to time, you can do that by mailing it to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Post Office Box 725275, Berkeley, Michigan 48072.
Yes, sir. Tony, you ready for some fantasy?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Tony, 6 players went way out on a limb and picked the 78 this weekend.
That was a stretch.
Crazy.
How do you do it?
Yeah, it's nuts. Aussie John, Greg, Rion, Mike Merrick, Mike Petty, and Wes all picked the 78. So nice job there, guys. Mick, while he is so sad about Kyle Larson being out, I know he is ecstatic because he tweeted us, look who's in the lead.
We got a new leader.
We do have a new leader.
I didn't know that was going to be possible.
Mick is now in first with 220 points.
Crazy.
Cody and Wes are tied for second with 215. Chris Lowther is in third with 210. Aaron and Chris Coble are in fourth with 205. Rich is in fifth with 195. Tony is in 6th with 190,
yeah,
and your beloved professor is in 11th with 155. Our joint Kyle Busch pick only yielded us 5 points. It was looking good early on.
It was looking real good.
A lot of people went with Kyle Busch. We had a couple Brad Keselowskis, and then a lot of 48s. So
I'm holding out. I can still use all these guys.
You got to make a push. We only got four more. Now or never. Four more races. And don't forget, if you guys have any suggestions for where we can run our fantasy league for next season, make sure you send that over to me.
Brandon has to gather up every email, every Facebook message, every tweet, every everything, every DM. Put it into an Excel sheet, and he's doing this by hand. So let's make life a little bit easier on the professor.
That'd be great. right now, I'll be honest, it's looking like Yahoo. I'd like to have a salary cap kind of thing where you can, pick it however you want and, fit it in kind of like a DraftKings kind of thing. So if anyone's got any suggestions, or if you're a pose, or hey, I'm not playing if it's this one, send that over, because, especially
that's good information.
We want to make sure that everyone's happy and that we get a nice turnout, even more competitive for season two of Lap Traffic. Yeah. And Tony, I think maybe next week we'll go live with the parody awards ballot.
We need to do that.
Yes.
We need to get that live soon.
Yes. I think, if we do it next week, that'll give everyone 3 weeks.
A couple weeks
to go fill it out, and then we can do it after the season as kind of like our finale show or something like that.
Professor's giving out homework assignments.
Professor
now
is giving out homework assignments. You want to know what's funny? Speaking of that, I'm actually rated on ratemyprofessor.com. Wow. Which I think is funny as shit. Wow. I'm a hot tamale, apparently. Yeah. I've got a bunch of ratings on ratemyprofessor.com.
Wow.
And it's funny because I haven't checked in a while, because I haven't taught since the end of the summer. So I went on there just out of the blue today, and there were like two more ratings. One said I'm the easiest professor in the world, and the other one, it was like my first like negative comment on there, which really kind of annoyed me.
Wow.
That said, I didn't return stuffed promptly, which you guys all know
that's
not the case. And that the course wasn't that good, which I vehemently disagree. If you want to check out the professor's ratings, go to
Where were the other?
Oh, I've gotten some that I'm the class is the most organized class they've ever taken.
I can see
shocker there.
I can see that.
That the lectures are engaging. It's
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. Yeah, yeah. All right, back to the show. So we'll get the awards thing out. We'll think that'll be fun. Engage the listener a little bit there. Tony, anything else social?
No.
No? We're good?
We're good.
All right. Make sure you follow us. Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. You want to talk some Cup?
Yeah.
So, the finale of the second round here at Kansas was spread out stage-wise. Kyle Busch got the win in stage one. Denny Hamlin, like, stole stage two, in my opinion.
He totally did.
He was like, hey, I'm
good
here.
For him. Hey, you guys want to be like that? That's cool. I know how to do this.
Yeah.
Good for him. I mean, it got the stage points.
Yes. Yeah. If that was what they were going, mission accomplished, right?
They totally swiped it.
I think they knew that they were, based on how the race was going, they felt pretty confident they were going to make it into the next round. So, hey, let's get
grab
a point.
Let's grab some points and go. Yeah.
And then we all know Martin Truex, seventh win of the season.
So that would be Toyota, a Toyota, and a Toyota.
Oh,
got
wow.
It. Got it.
It's crazy. Okay. Crazy.
It was like six out of the top 10 qualifying or something like that. Or
nuts.
Seven. I don't know. It was like a lot.
It was up
them.
There. Yeah. It's been a while, I think, since we've had someone with seven wins in a season. I know Jimmy had eight. Seven wins is a lot of wins, especially when we look at the beginning of the season. I think for a while there, we had a new race winner, like 10 out of 14.
All the time.
Something like that to start the season, which was awesome.
They've officially figured it out.
Yeah, they're dialed in. Summer, dialed in.
I don't know who it was. I think it had to have been NASCAR Chasm that posted. It said, hopefully when they open up these, talking about opening up these JFK files, that maybe there's a setup sheet for the 78 car in there somewhere, too. It's a really well-hidden document right
it
now. It's
classified.
That car is. It is classified.
Tony, so the 78, I mean, this is where you got to give this team credit. So they have an issue early on with a restart penalty, and they battle back slowly but surely, and they get the seventh win. It's nuts.
They're strong. Yeah. I mean, they just stick to the plan. I got to tell you right now.
Yeah.
If I'm a NASCAR team owner, I got to give serious consideration to moving my team to Denver, Colorado.
Absolutely.
There's something in
it's
the water.
There's something in the air. Something in the ground, maybe. I'm not sure.
There's something going on that they're doing really right out there, and I might want a part of that. You know? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, hey, man, maybe it's a little puff-puff pass. I don't know. But, man, you know what I mean? In all seriousness, like, what are they doing out there?
They are. Yeah.
I'd be looking into something, man. Who owns the building next door to them?
Right. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Hey, you know, so speaking of his restart penalty, what do you think of that restart penalty and how it was addressed and how it was handled there?
Well, I think they handled it as they should have, right? And you know, it was explained clearly in the driver's meeting, right? Is what I've
which we've gathered, right? Yeah.
Which we've gathered now. And you can't change lanes until you cross, the start finish line. And that goes for the leader. I don't like how they cut under that line to begin with. I never understood how that was okay to do short the course, you know, like that anyways. But, you know, I think they played it right. And, you know, you're following the leader, and that's who should have got it.
You know, I agree completely. For me, and from a fan perspective, I could see where it was confusing watching it on TV, watching Kevin Harvick follow the leader and being confused while they're talking about this and they're saying Martin Truex got a penalty. Well, the four did it too. To me, you know, I tweeted out, you know, the only reason why I can think of why he didn't was that he was following the leader.
Right.
And sure enough, a little while later, Kyle Petty mentioned, he goes, hey, we got confirmation from NASCAR that was to the leader. You know, if Kevin Harvick hadn't followed and dropped below the line with Martin Truex, then he would have gotten eaten up alive, basically.
Right.
He had to keep up with the leader.
Exactly.
So
they talked to Kyle Busch later, and he said, no, I think we have a pretty good understanding of it in the meeting. And Truex and Cole Purton said, we weren't clear on it.
Yeah.
So that was our fault. They raised their hand and just went back to work. And
yep.
Well, it's going to take more than that to stop him. Apparently.
Absolutely. Apparently, right?
A mile and a half track anyways. Yeah.
Yep. Let's see what else here. Tony, tough break for the 42 team. Engine issue, and unfortunately not enough went their way with the outcome of the race to be able to make it through there.
That was brutal. That stinks, but I mean, that's, you know, that happens, man. It's part of racing.
Well, like I mentioned earlier, you know, kind of the same thing happened to Martin Truex Jr., and look where he is this season. I look for the 42 team to come out with the same vengeance next year.
I don't see them slowing down.
And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they spoil a race and maybe, hey, you know what, that's fine. We'll get one more this year, though.
I agree.
I would not be a bit surprised.
There's no quit there.
No. So, Tony, I had written off the 48 team. I did not. I tweeted it out. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do a bold-ass prediction before the start of the race. I said, I'm not going to be a bit surprised that 48 doesn't make it. Then I got real cocky. And I thought, I told you guys. And then he makes it in. So,
I mean, there's just things you don't do.
There,
you know?
You don't bet against the Patriots. Right. And apparently you don't bet against Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, you don't bet against Tom Brady.
No.
And you
yeah.
don't bet against Jimmy Johnson.
Yes.
When it's playoff time.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and speaking of playoffs and where some of these guys finished, you know, the bottom four, Ricky Stenhouse finished 29th, Jamie McMurray 34th, Matt Kenseth 37th, and Kyle Larson 42nd. Matt Kenseth, man, I feel for him. You know, no for sure spot on where he's going to be riding next year, and to get knocked out in the fashion that he did was a disappointment, I'm sure, for him. You know,
sure,
I can only imagine.
Well, at least you want to be running and still fighting, you know, out there. So that is, but I mean, the rule is what the rule is. And you know, maybe he should have won last week.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we wouldn't be talking about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Right? So, I mean,
You know, and that's what I was expecting to be our response when Martin Truex Jr. had his penalty. Well, hey, you know, at least he's got to, you know, it's no worries for him, you know. But apparently, you're right. It doesn't matter for that team. So, Tony, the second round is over. As we mentioned, Larson, Kenseth, McMurray, and Casey Kane are now out, and we are down to eight. Any surprises to you on who's in the round of eight?
You know, I didn't know that I didn't know about Johnson and Blaney. Well, those were the two that I thought were maybe borderline.
Okay.
Of course, I didn't think Kyle Larson was gonna be out. I mean, you can't predict that finish, but
no. I mean, I'll be honest. You know, obviously, I think it not to say that there's anything against these two, but you know, Jamie McMurray point raced all season, had a great season. Just you know, not enough there to keep advancing. And Casey Kane. You know, wouldn't have made it even into the playoffs if he, you know, didn't back in with that with the win that he had. I forget. I'm drawing a blank on the
Indy.
Indy. That's right. Indy Brickyard. Yep. That said, I'm surprised that both Blaney and Chase Elliott kind of snuck in, but you know, I would not have been surprised if one of those two didn't make it. You know, you know, Denny Hamlin. Didn't have the strongest of seasons for him. You know, he does have two wins. Nothing that impressed me. You know, Ricky Stenhouse has two wins too, you know. Yeah. So Denny Hamlin's kind of been a little on the quiet side in terms of making noise.
It's been a quiet year for him, but the results are there.
Sure, yeah. You know? So, you know, I would not have been shocked if Denny Hamlin hadn't made it. But I think it's going to be interesting is when we look at these next three races with Martinsville, Texas, and Phoenix. You know, Phoenix, everyone's got Kevin Harvick dialed in for Phoenix, which right. I'm not bought in on that. He hasn't won there the last, I think it's either two or three races, which, you know, two or three. But in the spring race there, not the best performance. Didn't have a great performance there in the fall last year. So I think it's possible, but I'm not completely bought in on that. I don't know how at this point you don't have Martin Truex penned in to win Texas. So that leaves Martinsville, which means you potentially only have out of four spots to get into Homestead, one spot that can be won on points racing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of guys in here that I could see potentially doing it. And there's a lot of guys I could see not doing it. Brad Keselowski. You know, he could win one of these races. He could win Martinsville next weekend.
Yes, he could.
You know, which would shake, you know, if he wins, you know, that could knock out Harvick. That could knock out Johnson. Like, you know, there is so much with four guys not making it to make it to a one-race shootout. I think it's interesting.
Yeah. No, it is. And that's where the short track part of this is really going to shake things up here coming into the end. You know, Texas, I mean, is going to be Texas, which pretty much like Kansas. You know how
Absolutely.
Everybody's going to shake out.
Yep.
You know, I'm not a big fan of those.
I'm over the intermediate.
Yeah, the intermediate track. You know, it was cool for a while because there was a half mile, there were mile tracks, and there was Talladega, Daytona. There was nothing in between.
But the racing was also better on those. The aero package allowed for better racing at the mile and a half.
Yeah, but because they didn't have that aero package so dialed in, that
right.
There was no simulators, there was no all this stuff.
Yeah.
And now it's...
Yeah, now it's
go out and stand on the gas, and it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's going to be what it is, pretty much. But we'll see. I've seen the Roval. Have you seen the testing of this?
This is
the goofiest, most dangerous track I've ever seen in my life.
I've been, from what I've gathered, it looks like, you know, they set up the course not knowing. I've heard there is some talk of doing some reconfiguration to it. Some of the drivers were complaining that they couldn't get up to enough speed. They felt like it was just too slow.
It's a drag race from corner to corner. They're going down to 40 miles an hour, up
right.
to 80 miles an hour, back to Duff. 40 miles an hour to 80 miles an hour. And they
it's almost like Martinsville.
There's a bunch of switchbacks in there is what they're called. And they're, it's not good. And I have no idea how they're going to go through that chicane coming off of turn four.
Back into the infield. Yeah.
You know, go through the chicane and then back into the infield on a restart.
Yeah.
This is going to be... And you get into the infield, there's just Armco there. There's no safer barriers. They have tires
Backed
up.
You know, and they tested this with a limited field. Let's get 40 cars out there and see how
exactly,
it goes.
Exactly. Going for it, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, they have tires in Armco because this is 1965.
Right.
So let's use that as safety. It's strange, man.
Yeah.
I applaud
the effort of adding but.
Totally. 1,000%, man.
Yep.
I like the idea of a Roval there. I like the location. I like you know, a road course-ish.
Yep.
I'm all for all of the, like, to the concept.
Yes. Just need
I'm not sure who designed it.
Yeah.
If they've ever been in a race car ever. But anyways, it was just kind of...
No, I'm with you. It'll be interesting.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. So, all right. We start the third round of the playoffs to see who races at Homestead. I can't believe the season's over in 4 weeks.
It's crazy.
It's a month, dude.
Yep.
It's crazy. Tony, not a ton of silly season news, with the exception, and it's not even really silly season, but it's just a feel-good story. Camping, Phoenix, sold out.
I love it.
People know the excitement and what is on the line at Phoenix. So that's exciting. That's awesome to hear. We've had great racing at Martinsville. The next 4 weeks are going to be a lot of fun to watch. If you are a race fan, you might get a little bit of the flex fan in. You know, maybe they'll tune in after the 1 o'clock football games to check out to see what the racing's going to be like, which I think is going to be.
Yeah.
I'm looking really forward to the next 4 weeks here of racing.
Yeah, so am I. You know, and there's still always, and it'll never go away. Probably there's still banter, you know, online about, you know, the playoffs and. I don't like the playoffs and all of that stuff, but I don't know. I got to say, it's better than, you know, there were times when, Jeff Gordon, I use him as an example, I don't know. But, like, he was already the champion
right
at this point of the year. There was no point in watching the next four races. It doesn't matter. You know who won the season.
I agree completely. It gives you a, you know, you need a reason to watch. What's the reason to watch Homestead if you already know? You know who's got the championship locked.
Jeff,
you know,
he didn't even have to show up at the racetrack.
No. I mean, could there be changes made to the format to, you know, enhance the playoffs itself a little bit? I think so. I don't think we need 16 drivers racing for it. 16 guys don't have there's no way Ryan Newman this year with the season he was having was going to win the championship.
Not a chance.
You know, so I think it could be more exciting if we knocked it down to.
Let's
you know,
12.
Maybe we do two races for, you know, maybe there's some structure in terms of how many races.
Sure.
In
and there's you know, always ways to,
absolutely,
to tweak
things, you
know. But I think they're pretty close on this.
It enhances, you know, it's still new from a driver perspective. They're not used to this. You know, it's the whole playoff, the elimination thing is relatively new. But when you look at playoffs in general across all the major sports, I mean, you start out with a bunch of teams and you knock it down, you know. So
they said, well, you know, why is, you know, Kyle Larson out? He only had one bad race. I said, well, why are the New York Yankees out? They only lost game 7.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, no, it's
because
it's,
they are. That's how it works.
Yeah. You know, now.
And everybody knew that at the day one.
Absolutely. and you know, some of the things I look at is, all right, maybe Kyle Larson isn't out if we don't have the stage points and all that kind of thing. You know, all this has been thrown in. And I think that if I'm a NASCAR, which I am a NASCAR fan, is NASCAR's taken big swings, it seems like, every other year. You know, so I guess from a fan perspective, I get the frustration of I can't get either comfortable or familiar with something, and it's changed again, you know?
Right.
So from that perspective, whether it's wrong, hey, maybe sometimes it's okay to leave it wrong
and
roll.
I'll say, you know, we're not sticking ball sport.
No.
I understand that too.
Yeah.
I'm still overall, I'm just saying it's better than knowing who already the champion is at this point.
I like the playoff format. I think, like I said, it gives me a reason to want to watch Homestead because when wasn't the champion decided at the last race already? You know, a lot of these guys had it locked up, you know, a full race, two races beforehand. So, I like the playoff format here. Tony, no real shocker. Goodyear expects a contract extension.
Anybody even bid against him?
Right? Who, you know?
I don't know.
Maybe, Martha Ford, Firestone,
yeah,
maybe?
No, I mean, Firestone or Hoosier. I don't know. I wouldn't hate seeing somebody else in there, but whatever. It is what it is. That's fine.
And, Tony, we joked about this the other day in terms of crew chiefs making silly season news, but Travis Mack will be the crew chief for Casey Kane in 2018.
Yeah, Travis Mack, I want to say he was Regan Smith's crew chief
here
a year or two
ago. Yeah,
on
I think
seven
so.
Seven car.
Yep. He's worked with Junior, Johnson, Gordon, all at HMS too. You know, so that should be exciting for them as an organization.
We'll let him get in there now and start working on things and get a good jump on 2018.
So. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think the one thing you know, Casey obviously did not have the season that he was, you know, wanted to have or anything like that. But Levine Family Racing, they've got their driver set. They've got their team set. They've got their sponsorship set. They've got their crew chief set. And this is November. Well, October, November, right? So they're good. They're ready to roll. I remember Matt DiBenedetto said last week, you know, when they didn't have everything finalized until January.
Yeah.
So
they had a couple of weeks to get ready for Daytona.
So I would like to hope and think that, all right, well, maybe with that being said, it'll be a little bit smoother transition for Casey, and they might even be able to come out a little stronger than expected.
No question about it. In Daytona. It'll give them a big head start. It
absolutely.
Really
yep. Anything else, sir?
No, I don't know of any other silly stuff going on. It was kind of a quiet week.
Yeah. You ready to go to work?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it.
It's time for another segment of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief, Tony Smith.
All right, Crew Chief. We got a couple questions this week. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. So our friend Mick at GoDucks42_Mick. Tony, if a new manufacturer was to join NASCAR, could it be a manufacturer that just joins the truck series? And is there any benefit to doing just that? Maybe dipping the toe in the water kind of thing?
Yeah, and you know, Dodge did that a while back. They got into the truck series before they went into Cup and to develop their engine program a little bit. I don't know that'll happen again, but yeah, it's entirely possible. It's happened before.
Yeah, no, I could see that, you know, just getting a feel, see how it goes.
It takes a while to build their program too, right? That takes a lot of resources internally.
Yeah.
Right.
Tony, Stu at Stu's Alaska would like to know, does an engine builder know what race and car the engine will be used in by the team, and is there any advantage?
I know where this question's going. Did Hendrick Motorsports know that engine was going into Kyle Larson's car? No, they didn't. They didn't. To be honest with you, that engine's probably been at Ganassi for a month and a half. You know, they don't have two engines in the house. They got a whole bunches of them. They just happen to pick the one random one out of the pile that went south.
Well, I guess I got a question. Follow-up. Does anything different go into the engine, or do they do anything different depending on whether it's a short track, you know, a Talladega kind of thing?
Yeah, sure.
What kind of variation might there be, or, you know, what can they do, I guess,
they just use different valve springs. They can use just different stuff. They know the engine's going to be revving a little higher, you know, at some of these tracks and others. Talladega, like I said, surprisingly, it's pretty easy on the motors.
Okay.
You know, so they can risk things a little bit more there. But, you know, in Martinsville, it's drag racing from corner to corner, and they're twisting the crap out of those motors. And I was actually on the Roval when I was watching the Goodyear testing of that.
Yeah.
Man, Clint Bowyer was twisting the bejesus out of that motor, and I was like cringing as an engine builder.
Waiting for it, ready to go.
Can't imagine 40 of these guys out there. They're going to blow engines everywhere. So yeah, they can change things around a little bit.
Okay.
But it's all still within the rules, but it's just, yeah.
Okay. Tony, you ready to do some lucky dogs?
Yeah, let's get lucky.
Let's do it. Mr. Crew Chief, who is your lucky dog of the race weekend?
Got to go with Christopher Bell.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't...
Good run. I mean, like the move at the end or not, I mean, he was still up front battling with the Cup driver.
Absolutely.
And he's only been in an Xfinity car five times.
Five times, yeah.
So, yeah, hats off. What about you?
I'm going with Chris Buescher and his top six
You know
on
what?
Sunday.
You tweeted that to me... late in the race,
yep.
I'm like, well, you know, they're on different pit strategy or whatever. No, they weren't. They were legit.
Yeah.
Chris Buescher really had a great run.
That's probably, he may have had another top five in there somewhere, but I think that finish is even better than his rain-shortened Pocono race win, because he was out there digging during a playoff race with these guys and brought it home with a sixth place finish.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who are you putting a lap down?
Tony, I am putting the big one down at Kansas that took out Matt Kenseth, Jamie McMurray, Eric Jones, Joey Logano, Ryan Newman, Clint Bowyer, Eric Almirola, Suarez, Bain, Elliott got some damage, Dylan Jr., Keselowski, Danica Patrick. I mean, I didn't know we were still plate racing a week later.
Yeah, honestly.
So,
How crazy is that?
That definitely played an impact in the playoff standings and all of that. So for me, that's who I'm putting a lap down.
Hey, you know, you mentioned someone in there, and I wanted to touch on this earlier. So sorry, I'm out of turn here.
That's all right.
But Clint Bowyer,
yes,
hasn't won a race in over 5 years.
Has it been that long?
5 years.
Wow.
You know, he gets storms out of his car at Talladega, screaming at his crew chief. He's like, we need changes. We need.
Yeah.
How long is Clint Bowyer relevant?
You know, all right. That's a good question. So here's my response to that. When I look at the fact that Clint Bowyer was in a bad situation when he left RCR, goes to H. Scott Motorsports, right, last year, knew it was going to be, he just didn't want to be without a ride for 36 races, right? Yeah. So took that road, knew he wasn't going to be out there competing for top fives. I think that was a lot more frustrating than, maybe even what he expected. I have no idea, but I couldn't imagine it was a good feeling getting in that car every Sunday.
Sure.
And now to come over to Stuart Haas, knowing the team, the equipment, and all of that, I think the adjustment from a whole organization perspective with the manufacturer change played a role. New team, new everything, getting used to things. If Clint Bowyer has the same results next year as this year, then you know what? Maybe there's a call for a change. But
yeah. And I'm not even hating on Clint Bowyer.
Oh, God, no.
Enough guy and all that
absolutely.
Stuff. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, like 5 years, a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'll give him a gimme on
last year.
That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I tell you, I think Clint Bowyer gets victory lane next year. And if he doesn't, and even if I'm Clint, who knows at that point? But if he doesn't, then he's definitely going to have some major sponsor issues. I mean, right. Stuart Haas organization as a whole already has sponsor issues. But I think, full year, new team, full year, four and under the belt, as an organization and as a team, I think the 14 is a little bit more relevant.
I was a little disappointed in his behavior on national TV at that point.
Yeah, it wasn't.
You know what I mean? If he was 23, I'll let that slide.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, he's a vet in the series.
Right, that shouldn't have happened. And
yeah.
So then I got digging around a little more, and I'm like, man, it's been a while. And
yeah.
I don't know. I was just, anyways.
No, look at Kurt Busch. I mean, the only person in the Stuart Haas organization is if you're going to use the term relevant, is Kevin Harvick.
Right.
Danica Patrick is Danica Patrick. Kurt Busch has his Daytona win. This was his best finish since the Daytona 500.
Right.
I think the organization struggled a little bit more than what was expected. Kevin Harvick's there. I'll be honest. I didn't even think he was going to get this far in the playoffs. Now that he's there, they've turned it up a little bit. Phoenix could be their wild card race to punch to Homestead. He's won that race before to seal the deal. So there could be some things to build off of for next year. But yeah, Clint Bowyer, I think they step it up next season.
Okay.
So.
All right. No, I just, sorry. All right.
No, dude, that's that off the cuff stuff. I love that stuff. Love it. All right. Over to some listener picks.
Hey, you didn't ask me who I'm putting a lap down.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who are you putting a lap down?
Nobody.
Oh, smart ass.
Honestly, yeah. It's like the first time. Like I don't have. I think everybody was cool. I don't know. Maybe the chucklehead that designed the Roval, but I don't know. I mean, that was a pretty good weekend of racing.
Yeah, no, totally.
Everything was pretty good.
Hey, so you don't have anything to complain about.
How about
it's
that?
Not bad, right? William at the _ Wilson 429's lucky dog is Cope Racing's and Josh Berry first race with a new team.
Yeah, both of those laps were awesome.
Lap down Eric Jones for whining about a clean finish. Hugh at Bucky 515's lucky dog is the 48 team. Lap down NASCAR. Silly, inconsistent restart rules make them look foolish. And the 20 team. Andrew at Cantsian's lucky dog is the 37 team with a P6 finish. And the guy who complimented his 24 shirt at MetLife Stadium over the weekend. Lap down. Where do I start? How about the 20 and the 42?
And you said his name right.
I did say his name right. Without hesitation. I think I'm getting good. Harvick for the Cup 30 at Scotty Styles. Lucky dog is the 48 team. He wrecked twice. Man, didn't hit a thing.
That's no lie.
Lap down is the 42. Captain Redneck at Redneck_Captain's lucky dog is the 48. Spun twice and still moves on. Tony, I think we have a pattern going on here. Lap Down, NASCAR and their endless rules. Timothy at T-Trip 14's lucky dog is the 48 for spinning twice. I can't make these up. Lap Down, the 20 team for making mistakes. Troy at Spoiler Warning 1's lucky dog is the 18 for all his competition wrecking. Lap Down, 42 team. He had him in the championship four, so he's very disappointed. Mick at Go Ducks 42's lucky dog is HMS Engine Builders. Got the right one in the 48.
Yes, they did.
His lap down is HMS Engine Builders for not getting the right one in the 42 team.
Yeah, like I said, I think they just drew drew the short straw out of the pot.
Right. Yep. Stu at Stu's Alaska lucky dog is the 48, spins out. HMS Engines gets him through, though. Lap Down is the 42 team. Steve at SC Linden, who didn't wait till Tuesday. His lucky dog has to be Truex again. He's got the golden touch, and he has to put Larson a lap down. Our friends over at the MOATF, at MOATF Podcast, lucky dog is Jimmy Johnson for keeping on digging through the race and making it to the round of eight. Lap Down, NASCAR, inexplicable convoluted rules for crash repair. Tony, I just kind of want to hear those Brits say inexplicable convoluted. I rack on them so much for their how they pronounce stuff. So they're thinking of doing a pronunciation segment on their show.
That'd be good. I like that.
Jeff at Gray Wolf Pack 5's lucky dog is Natalie Decker for her full-time ARCA ride next year.
How about that? Natalie's been on our show, and I think we should have her on again here before long, and she's got a full-time ARCA ride this year, so that's way
very
cool.
Yeah, that's really going to be awesome for her. Lap Down, Murphy's Law for dumping the 42. Noah at N Dustier's lucky dog Martin Truex Jr. win number 7, and Spencer Boyd getting a full-time Xfinity ride in 2018. Lap Down Kyle Larson. Mark at underscore NASCAR nerds lucky dog emphasis on lucky to the 18 wrecked and pit sequence shouldn't get you into the next round. Lap Down NASCAR for creating new rule procedures mid-season, and the 20 team for dropping the ball on rules again. Hashtag AMS.
Still saying you guys got to work out a trade for that NASCAR nerd handle. I'm just telling you right now. I don't know how you miss that.
I dropped the ball. Oh, you know, when I created my own personal Twitter account, I wasn't very creative with BCrowd4. No. there was no creativity to that. Thank you, everyone, to submitting your lucky dog picks. Make sure you continue to do that. But, Tony, that leads to an awesome announcement. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Drum roll, please. Tony, the Lapped Traffic Podcast has its very own hotline phone number. What does that mean for you, the listener?
Coming soon. Not right now, right?
Yes. So, the Lap Traffic Podcast, we now have a hotline phone number, which starting for next year, we're going to wait till next season since we only got 4 races left this season. Next season, you guys, the listeners, are going to be able to call in, be a part of the show, and give us your lucky dogs and lap down live. You get to be a part of the Lap Traffic Podcast, be a part of the show. Obviously, we're not going to be able to take 20 calls, 25, whatever it is. So we're still going to want you to send them to us. But so what we'll do next season at some point when we're ready for phone calls, we'll tweet out, hey, give us a call. We'll tweet out the number and all that. And next season, you guys are going to be a part of the Lap Traffic Podcast.
That's right. So it's take more work here on the engineer's going to have to work a little harder.
Hey,
so we're going to take some work off of you on the fantasy side, but you're going to have to work harder on to manage these phone calls.
That's all right. So unlike an actual radio station that may have like 8 lines with a designated call screener.
No.
We got one. building blocks, who knows what maybe right. episode or season 3 will be, but we will have a line that you guys can call in. I'm sure the first couple weeks it might be, some BS chat with some longtime listeners.
What if could they leave messages and we could record those?
See, you had already added the extra work on my plate, you know. So then the crew chief. I have no idea. That could be an option.
You guys get the idea where we're going with this. We're trying. You know, we want to make this. You know, we want to get you know, build it and more, be more interactive than we already are. And
absolutely.
And want you guys to, you guys are why we're here. And,
yes.
And we want you to continue to be part of it and tell your friends and grow this. But,
absolutely.
So that's something we've been working on, and we're just, dipping our toe in.
It's been, we'll see how it goes. It's tested, it works, and we will be ready to go. We could do it next week if we wanted, but we're going to hold off, make that something big next season.
We got enough on a plate right now.
Absolutely.
So.
Yes.
But so that'll be a good addition.
I'm excited. I hope it works how it's going through in the brain, because if it is, then it's going to be a lot of fun to talk with the listeners live on the show, get their take on the race, you know, get their take on their lucky dogs and stuff like that. I think that's stepping it up.
I think it is.
So I think that's awesome.
Next level.
Yes, sir. You ready for some odds?
Yeah, let's be odd.
All right. So Tony at Kansas. Joey Logano and Kevin Harvick, as I mentioned, had won the last four fall races there. I put Kyle Busch at the favorite at plus 650, and he came in as the favorite at plus 275.
Nice.
I put Kevin Harvick at plus 900. He came in at plus 600. And I put Matt Kenseth at plus 1500. He came in at plus 1200. So we all know what happened there. Tony, Martinsville, here's an interesting stat for you. You ready for this?
Yep.
Denny Hamlin and Jimmy Johnson have won 13 of the last 22 races at Martinsville.
Wow.
Stretch from October 2006 to October 2010, they were the only two to win at Martinsville.
Right. Yeah.
Obviously, they've made the odds this week. I'm putting Jimmy Johnson as the favorite at plus 300. I'm putting Denny Hamlin at plus 500. I'm putting Chase Elliott at plus 1,000. And it was mentioned all throughout the broadcast that Brad Keselowski feels that Martinsville is his race to go in and win and get to Homestead. That team feels if they don't win at Martinsville, they may not be going to Homestead. So that said, I'm putting them at plus 1,000. Over to our podcast pick'ems. Tony, we both took the 18. Sherwin took the 20. Rusty took the 2. We now have a 10-8 lead going into the last four races. So we got a small cushion, but
very small.
It's not safe.
No, it is not.
Tony, who are you taking for Kansas?
I'm going to the front.
To the front. To Brad Keselowski. I like it. Tony, I would like to take the 48, but I wasted my picks on him at the beginning of the season. That said, I am going with the 11 of Denny Hamlin.
I am out of Hamlin picks.
You're out of Hamlin?
I have Truex, I have Kyle, I have Larson, and Harvick. But
I've got my picks for the next four races lined out.
I might have conserved too much fuel.
You might have.
You know?
You might have.
I still have bullets in the gun.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
You know, the season's coming to a close.
All right, so that's who we got for next week. Send us who you're taking next week.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Tony, I'm going to hit social media here real quick.
Let's wrap it up.
All right. Everyone, make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, and follow us on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Who knows? Maybe we'll have a guest next week, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll be traveling next week, but I'll probably be calling in. I will be at the SEMA Apex show out in Las Vegas. If any of our fans are out there, hit me up on Twitter.
There's going to be a lot of people out there.
There is going to be everybody and anybody from the automotive industry will be there.
Very cool.
So hit me up. I'll buy you a beer. But, you know, as always, we thank you all for being a part of what we do here each and every week. And we thank you for being there for us. And make sure you listen every week. Otherwise, you will be a lap down.
See ya!